not the famous singer of my day. He was also known as Nelson Eddy. Then from that time on, I believe the Pearsons bought it from them, Parrot and Phyllis Pearson. And they lived there for many years, and they moved away from town shortly before Parrot died. And then it was then sold to the Cooks, who now occupy it. So we went down the road toward northeast, and then the next building on the right, on that road, on the corner of the mountain road, was the old schoolhouse that was there, and that was torn down and moved away several years ago. It's on the corner of the mountain road. Next place is the David English place. His wife Donna lived there for quite a few years. And before that was owned by John Slocum Kay. That was David English's brother-in-law and father-in-law. Owned it for quite a long time. When I was a kid, that was owned by Harry McHugh. He shipped milk, and I picked up his milk when I drove a milk truck. And he was there, and previous to him, that was the place where my father had lived before they bought the farm in near Barker's Grove here. And he was a kid, he went to that school across the road there. And so then you go on down the hill again, at the top of the hill was a newer house built there. Well, I say newer, probably built there 25 years or now, built by Bill Rowe, who later moved away, and this was sold to a family named of Waters, who still occupy it. Then you go on down the hill, and when I was a kid, there was the first thing would be a lane leading across from the Gorski farm and house. There was a house in there. That house was owned by the Lester Becker farm. It was a farm that's part of that operation. That house burnt down. There was a family by the name of Brown lived in there then. That was one of the first buildings that got taken on by the brand new Easton Fire Company. So that was a good many years ago. Anyway, the next place on the right would be a newer house built by John Usinowski some 20 years ago. And still lived in by him and his wife. And the next on the right would be the house I knew was the Usinow house. His mother-in-law, Mrs. Whitaker, lived in there when I was a kid. When Munford and the Beck family, the older generation of Becks, occupied that downstairs, I think it was, or upstairs. And, I think Moose now owned it that time. And that the land was sold to John Rapesky and the house of these Robert, the barn was converted to a house across the road, and that was a house that burnt down that was then owned by the Edwards. So then you mine down the road, and there's a house there built by Charles and Nan Goldman probably 40 years ago, and still it's occupied by their daughter, Nancy, her married name, I have now forgotten that. That's a house and small lot there. This place on the right is the farm now owned by John Rapesky. John and his wife Lou still live in there. They have quit farming now. The land just ran out to the Gorski farm. And when I was a kid, that was a Carlson farm. Betty Carlson and her daughter Louise were living there. And they had as a hired man, Harlan Osberg, who owned the house in Barker's Grove. So, Betty Carlson died, and Louise lived there in the house with the Rapeskys. Had one section of the house when they first took the farm over. And Harlan Osberg then went to work for my uncle Edward Lumberg, and he worked for him for quite a few years. And John Rapeskys owned that place for probably 40 years and still lives there. So next on the right is the house. I knew it too. Willie Wells' house, a small house. And it used to be a, I guess, a clandestine barber nights and weekends, and he worked on the Houston Town Highway during the day. And his granddaughter, Flippo Peters, now Dietz, still owns that house, and it's now vacant. So that takes it back to Route 40. That's the Fly Summit Road. And while we're there, you must well go across the Route 40. That is known as the Wells Road. There's one a building on the right, first building encounter, is a barn belonging to the Philippa Dietz residence. Next thing on that road is a house built by Taylor Henderson Jr. a few years ago. And his family lived there. Then you come to the big Henderson farm. And there's two houses on that place now. The original house is occupied by Alan Henderson, one of the Taylor Sr.'s sons. And the house nearest the road is occupied by Elsie Henderson, Taylor's wife. There's when I was a kid, that was also the Henderson farm. George Henderson and Bertha, and they had two daughters and a son, I believe, and they were, Mrs. Henderson was quite musical. She was an excellent piano player, played by music or by ear, and the kids when they were young were known as the Henderson Trio. The two daughters and a son sang together at local things, meetings and gatherings and so forth. So that had formerly been owned by Mrs. Henderson's father, Frank Wells. That was his farm originally. George and Bertha took it over at some time, and Frank came to spend his last years with his other daughter, Grace Dixon, who lives at the corner of Waite Road and Route 40. That's where he lived, spent his last years with the Dixons. So then you take a turn towards the west, and you come to the Waite Road. So we're down that a ways as long as we're there. We're down the Waite Road, and the first place on the right would have been a place back in the lane. It was formerly owned by Lester Paragon. He lived in there when I first remember the Paragons. And he was also a member of that Beetle Hill Russian Orthodox Church. That family was, and that he later bought the Thompson farm on Route 40 and moved out of there, and that nothing left there anymore, only the house. I think the barn's burnt. House was not in much state of repair, but it's still there, I believe. The next place on your right would have been the place I knew was a Molesky farm. It was operated by Edward Molesky. He and his mother and a sister lived there for a while. And they ran that farm until Eddie was able, or had to retire, and was sold to two or three different people. It's now owned by Gabriel's. And it's operated now as more of a vegetable farm. The dairy operation is gone. So that's the last place on the Waite Road until you get to you turn around there and come back, because there's no more houses to the River Road. And on the right-hand side, or southerly side of the road, from you come up on the used to be the Keegan farm. Thomas Keegan and the family lived there. And after Tom and his wife, and they had a couple daughters that lived there, and they were both school teachers. One of them was elementary principal when she retired from the Greenwood School. And they sold that farm and land. It's now part of the Henderson farm. And you come on back toward Route 40, and on the right-hand side you encounter some of the Allen Waite Farms barns. And way near the state road, you come upon a house built by George Allen and his wife when they first got married. And they still live in there. So when we turn around and come back, toward the west, and there are the one house and the main house and the big farm. There's numerous buildings on the other side of the road, and that north side of the road too. That house there when I was a kid was owned then by George Norwood Allen, the father of Norman, and operated by him and his wife Edith. But they lived in Troy and only commuted back and forth except summers. They lived in that Sherman farm, which is connected to the Elm farm owned by them, was connected by a farm road. And the Allens owned that for many years and been operated to Norm and down to his son George. So, and then that pretty much takes in the Wake Road, so you turn back and mine up the Wells Road, and that's the first place you would come to is on the right would be a house built by Robert Henderson, Sr. And that was built some 25 years ago, probably after he left Parker's Road. And then the next place on the right would be a house that, when I was young, was occupied by Lester Peters and wife Grace and two daughters. It was owned at that time by Hannah Lundberg. She had married John Lundberg in the next house farther on to the east, and she rented that house out to the Peters. And both of them died while they were living there. It was later taken over by Mary Alice Gillis, who was a step-granddaughter of Hannah Lundberg. And Joe Gillis and Mary Alice Gillis live there now. And that brings her back to the corner, the house with Joe Gillis and Mary Alice still own. There's a two-family house at the corner of Route 40. We'll now go back north on 40, where I left off on 40 before at the corner of Burton Road, where the E.T. Briggs residence, first building on the, right on the corner. E.T. Briggs was a well-known person around town. Was in the machinery business and a well-known farmer. He raised about 14 children there, I believe. And the farm is still in the family. It's now operated by a great-grandson of Eugene Briggs. His name is Billings. Next place on the right is a newer house that was built by Donald Briggs, one of E.T.'s sons. And he built that house there as a retirement home. He had a farm in Stillwater, ran for many years, and came back here to retire. It's been sold just recently. Don, I think, is still alive, but in a nursing home someplace. So that's the next house on the right is also a Briggs house. It was owned and occupied by Frank Briggs, no relation to E.T., but E.T.'s daughter, Emma, married Frank Briggs, a guy from down south of Albany someplace. So they lived there for many years in my younger years, and they had four children, a daughter and three sons. One of the sons came back there a few years ago and redid the old homestead, and I think that's John Briggs that lives in there now. He redid that whole house and modernized it, and he now lives in there as a retirement place. Next place on the right would be the Thomas farm today. It's now operated by Lloyd Thomas. And when I was a kid, that was the Lewis Dixon place. He had a herd of cattle and had a barn there. Was in the sale of mostly workhorses. I remember we bought one or two there. My father bought one or two there himself. And Lewis Dixon quit farming in his later years and went to work in the S&T mill at Middle Falls and was killed when an elevator went down there. So the next thing north of that would be the North Meeting House of the Quaker Easton Meeting. That's been their brick building for many years, and it's still there. They still have services about every Sunday in there, I guess. And the next thing on the right would be the house of, now it was built, I think, by Kenneth Hill. He was one of Lou Dixon. He was Lou Dixon's, Mary's oldest daughter, Marguerite. They built that house some over 40, 50 years ago, and they still live in there. They're kind of semi-retired now, but next place past that was a small house. It was built there by John Visser for his father and mother, Jake and Anna Visser. They spent some years in there, and then until they moved in with their daughter, Tilly Buckley, at Barker's Grove. And then it was sold to the McCarts, and Will and Cora McCart, bought it then, and still occupied by Helen McCart, one of their daughters, who was she's pretty much retired now, I think. And then you go on north of there, and through the woods, and the first place was Ezra Wells' place. The barns were on the right-hand side of the road, house on the left. And next to that was the Homer Dixon farm, a small farm, barns only. That house was also on the other side of the road. So then you go on north of there was the farm that was operated by Havard Pettis and his father, John. And Havard sold that farm some years ago to the, she's one of our council people, Mr. and Mrs. Stewart. They've since built a house for one of their sons back in the near the woods, it's in back of that, but that was a well-known farm. He was a well-known Guernsey breeder, John and Havard Pettis. He moved away to Hartford, I believe, and I think he's still alive, Havard Pettis is, in the real estate business up there. And on north of that was the barn to the Eldridge farm, was on that easterly side of the road. And then the barn to the Beatty farm on the eastern side of the road. They still stand, all of them. And then next to that was, I knew it as the Norton place. I think his name was Elmer Norton. And he farmed it there when I was a kid. And it's now lived in by his, he married his granddaughter, I believe, and Dr. Ward, a veterinary, lives in there. So that brings us to the corner of Edgemond Bridge Road. Then to go on north, once again, there's a big old farmhouse there. When I was a kid, it was owned by DeRagan, I believe George DeRagan. He ran a junkyard or auto salvage yard there, that junction there, but that field between the Edgemond Bridge Road and that house were full of cars. He also, I think, he did some auto repair in there too. Then the farm was sold to Dave Perry. He was there for some few years, and he built a barn there. It was a horse barn. He had horses and board horses for people. Then he sold it to a man that's there now named Riggio. He operates a vegetable operation there now. Next building on your right is the county storehouse, county local storehouse. And that's been there for 25 years probably. And next north of that now is the Elks Club building. That was also built 15, 20 years ago. And that brings it to the corner of the Bolson Road. And from there north was, when I was a kid, that was Stiles or Peckham's quarry buildings. And there was the quarry buildings were there. To the north of that was a house occupied by George Baker, who ran the bar and grill across the street and on Route 29. And now it's the Battenkill Veterinary Clinic. That house has been torn down. The new building had been built in there. So there we'll turn around and come back south on 40. The first building on the right at Hagensdorf is now the Country Power Building. It was built as a building about 25 years ago. First of all, used as a machine shop by a man in Greenerston, sold to the Country Power a few years ago. He operates the local Agway store there. Next building on the right was a apartment house built there some few years ago. It's owned, I believe, by the Bouchard family from Scottville. and rented out 4 apartments in that building. Next thing to that, to the south of that, is the house that was built by William Donahue Sr., who operated the drugstore in Greenwich. That's since been sold to someone else unknown to me. Next place on the corner of Wilson Road is the, was known as the, to me, as Eddie Cox residence. It's owned by the Joseph Little and that ran the feed mill in Greenwich, but Eddie Cox was one of his hired hands. He lived there for many years. It's now occupied by a surveyor, James Data. Next place on the right, if you're possible, to note is the house built by Randy Basker or something like that. And it's, it was built by Gilder to start with, and then taken over by Randy Basker. It's a newer house. Next thing is the old, Arthur Kingsley place. Mrs. Kingsley lived there when I was a kid. He worked for Whiteside's, delivered oil for them, a tractor trailer, first tractor trailer ever saw on this territory. And it was taken over by Gerald Connors of the Mills Auction family. He and his wife and family lived in there. Gerald just passed away here within the last year. But Mrs. Connors still lives there. The next place on the western side of the road would have been the the first house there is built by Bob Gilder. He was a local electrician. He and his wife lived there for many years. It's now a man there that's in the gun business. Has a house and has a small building next to it where he sells guns and moves guns and so forth. Next house is a house built by Marcel Crum and his wife. She was a daughter of Bob Gilder. They've lived there for quite a few years. He worked on the county road until just recently retired. Next place on the right is a building now owned by Marcel Crum and wife, which was a dance hall and roller skating rink in the old days. It's been converted to a Western store. It's now, I think there's a 2 apartments in there that are rented out, I think by the Wrens. That was also, when I was a kid, that was property was Taggart's junkyard before the dance hall was there. Same Mr. Taggart ran it, but he sort of went out of the junk business, got a little bit out of his cars and built that dance hall and roller skating rink there. Next thing on the right would be the old schoolhouse. Hedgeman Bridge District School. That was converted to a house and was lived in for some time by the Fletcher family. And who's in there now, I don't know. So that brings us back to the Hedgeman Bridge Road heading south. And the next place on the right is was the Archie and Minnie Beatty residence when I was a kid. It has since been sold to the Liddells, and Liddells use the land and I think they rent the house out. And then you come on south again, and there's the first house you encounter is a house built and occupied by Thomas Eldridge. He built that house some 25, 30 years ago now. Next on the right is the old Eldridge farmhouse. That's been in the Eldridge family ever since I can remember. And Mr. Eldridge, Tom Eldridge, the grandfather of Tom that lives there at the other house, was the head of the Greenwich Bank. Well, they've lived there for many years. And next house on the right is a house that also belonged to the Eldridges. It's now Tom's sister, Dee Dee, and her husband live in that house. And this next place on the right is the farm owned by Howard Pettis and John Pettis. Was his father, and they farmed it there for quite a long time. And Harvard eventually sold that to the Stewarts. Janet and I can't remember her husband's name, but they've lived there for some time now, and they still farm it there. So next on the right would be a house that was formerly the Homer Dixon farm. when I was a kid, and that was sold to a man that was he was a carpenter. His name was Babineer. He lived in there for some time, or Mr. and Mrs. Babineer. And it was purchased quite a while ago by Dick Brownell. And he and Helen, who is the librarian of the Easton Library, living there now. They raised their family there, and they're pretty much alone there now. Next on the right would be the place known as the Ezra Wells House. And, the person who lives there in there now is Buddy Birch, changed hands sometimes in the interim years, but now occupied by Buddy Birch. Next on the right would be the old Lyman Green House. Lyman and wife lived there, and they had a couple sons about my age, Dick and George Green. And they're, it's been sold two or three times since, and they're placed in a big old farmhouse, but it's unknown to me who's in there now. Next on the right would be a house built by a man that formerly owned the greenhouse for a while. His name is Sal Vallone. He's been there around this part of the country some 30 years or more, 30, 40 years. And next on the right, heading south again, would be the place was, when I was a kid, it was the John Visser farm, a poultry farm. And John and Avis lived there for many years, and after their son James went to school with me, was killed in World War II, they sold the farm to Charles McCart, and it belongs now, I believe, to Charles McCart's daughter, Joanne Booth. She still has some beef cattle there. The poultry operation is all gone. Next on the right would be the house on the corner of the Wilbur Avenue turn. That house has been was once owned by the McCachrans of the farm down on Wilbur Avenue. It's been occupied by various people right now. By Darrell Hill is there. He's a logger and woodcutter, and he's owned it for some time, but it's changed hands many times since in my remembrance. Next on the right would be the Bachelor place it is now. When I was a kid, that was the, first of all, the Charlie Thompson place. And he sold that farm and moved down to Northeastern. He and Ernest was his son. And then was sold to Lester Paragon. He lived in there for some years with his family. I believe he retired and moved away, and then was sold to the Bachelor family. So they're still there. That's a great big double house. It must have been built beside a house all hooked together. It sits back in the lane somewhat. So the next place on the right would be some distance down the road. The place known to me is the Hajo's place, and it's been the Hajo's place all my life. It was a sister and brother and their mother lived there when I was a kid. And man's name was Leo. His sister Lillian was there and has been, and she still lives in that house. She's getting to be kind of an elderly lady at this time. So then come back to the corner of the Cheese Factory Road. When I was a kid, there was a building right there on that corner, on the northwest corner. Was an old cheese factory building that was, I believe, torn down. It's gone now. Next on the right would be the Brotherhood Farms, or when I knew it, always been the Brotherhood Farms, as I could remember. It was originally owned by the Hillman family. It's now owned and operated by George Hauser, a nephew of the Hillman brothers that were there. He and his son lives in the house of George Jr., and he operated quite a big farm there. The next down right would be a place down quite a long lane. When I was young, that was a Winchell farm. The Winchells, I think, it only rented it from The family had previously owned it, but way back 50 years ago, it was bought by Tony Anasuski. He was a man that moved here from Mechanicville, and he raised his family there, and it's still in that Anasuski family. The grandson of Tony is there, and his son's wife is still there. And they operate still quite an extensive farm there. Then we're going down the road quite a ways, and that's the house that was once owned by the Slocum family, and it was purchased by a man thereafter. He was Bob Mahaffey. He operated the farm there and milked cows for some years, and then he died, and Mrs. Mahaffey moved away, and it was sold to Albert Foss. He turned the barns over into poultry houses and built some new barns. It was operated by Albert Foss and his wife Ann for quite a few years, and then it was at his death, it was sold to the Fusters that live in there now. This on the right would be a house that was before that also occupied by Albert Foss, just a house on a small lot there. And it's now owned by Phyllis Sharp. She lives there, has raised her family, and they've all moved away, I think, pretty much. And that was when I was a kid, that was first residence. I remember that Tilly Buckley and daughters lived in, and Jake and Anna Visser. There was a small house next to that. There was my first remembrance, there was Betts' house. Mrs. Betts and Arnold, her son, lived there. And, the father was Nels Betts, that lived farther down the road with Nellie Scott, which was her hired man. And it was sold to Dora Darrell that had the farm near the corner of Waite Road. And her husband had died and left the farm right there, and she owned it for some years. And it was owned by Merton Schuyler. He was a veteran of World War II. That was he had a farm down below, and that was his retirement place too for some years. And then it was eventually bought by Bob Moy, Sr. He lived in there some years, and after he moved out, they used it as a hired man's house for the Moy farm. It's now occupied by Bob Moy, Jr. Next on the right would be the town barns. When I was a kid, the town barn consisted of an old church. I think it was a Dutch Reformed church building that had been closed up and turned into a town shed, and doors and put in it, and lowered the ceiling some. And that building was used as a town shed for some reason. That burnt down when my father was in Roachminster. It had a wooden coal fire in there most of the time. It got on fire during the daytime, and it was just a big open fire trap in there. It went up very quickly. So then they built another building to the south of it, and that was there for some years, a bigger building, and that blew down in the windstorm of, I believe, 1952. So they had to build another new shed, which stands there now. And next, and then we come on back to the Giles Ferry Road. And first place on the right, south of there, is a house that was, when I was a kid, that was owned by Paul Maliski, and he lived in there alone. He had originally a farm on the River Road. That was his retirement home. And it's now, it was in the Maliski family for many years. It's just been sold here in the last 5 or 10 years, and the people who are in there now are unknown to me. Next to that was another house where those houses were very close together. The original house there was torn down maybe 10 years ago, and a new house was constructed by Helen Grisky. It's a very modern house, solar heated and all those type of things. And but not lived in it this time. Then the next place I'm right would be a house built by Taylor Henderson, the more modern house. And it's now occupied by Shirley Lamb, the town clerk of Easton at this time. Next on the right would be Judge Briggs' house. Ralph Briggs and his wife Dorothy lived in there, and they built that house some 30 or 40 years ago, and they still reside in there. Next on the right would be a house that was built for Catherine Thompson, who was a daughter of Ernest Thompson that lived on the farm next door. And after Ernest died, and she had that house built for herself to live in, she lived there for some years, and she's now in the Pleasant Valley Infirmary, and the house is rented out to someone else, I believe. And next on the right would be was originally the Charles and Ernest Thompson farm in my day, and it was operated until Ernest died. It was a small farm, a small dairy operation there, but it's now owned by Bill Shannon Jr. His father, Bill Shannon Sr., bought it from the Thompson, and the Shannon family still lives there. That's the next thing we think of on our right is the Burton Hall. It's still there. It's been there since, I believe, it's the date of 1902. So one time it was also the Easton Libraries in there in one room. And that new library was built across the street. That room is now used as a kitchen. And the town clerk's office is in the south of that building at this time. Back in the Rattles, which is now the Burton Hall parking lot, was also owned by Mrs. Margaret Chapin. Her husband, John died quite early, and he had two sons, John Jr. and Robert, who he went to school with. And Mrs. Chapin lived there. They went in the service in World War II and never returned to this area. And Mrs. Chapin lived there for some years, and it was purchased by Charles Bowen. He lived in there, and he and his wife, Nan, and family, and they at one time operated a restaurant in that house for a few years, and stayed in the Bowman family until the house was purchased by the town just a few years ago and torn down and lot made into a parking lot. Next on the right is what they call the Corliss house, which is something to do with the Corliss man that invented the steam engine way back. When I was a kid, that was occupied by Corey English, and she was lived there alone, more or less. She had sometimes had boarders, but she used to do lastings for people all around town. And got her death, I think it was bought by Lewis Slocum, Sr. And he owned it for some years. I don't believe he ever lived in it, but there was one time ran into Judge Briggs and his wife Dorothy. And they lived there when their children were younger, until they built their new house. And it's now owned by Phil Peters across the road, and occupied some of the time, and not quite a lot. But right now it's Alan Curtis that lives in there. Alan Curtis owns a feed store on County Route 74, in the eastern part of the town of Easton. And the house on the corner now occupied by Flippa Peters, I believe. That's also owned by Phil, but Flippa Peters Dietz lives in there. And that was once, they tell me, one of the old Easton stores. It was also the post office at one time. There was a house and the store were joined together, and they now make one building. So that brings us back to the northeastern, to the corner of Wells Road. Then we'll take a right-hand turn on what's now known as Church Lane, just south of the ME Church. The first building there is a house that was owned by Harry and Goldman and his wife, and forget her name, but they raised a family of 12, 14 children there. It was in the Goldman family for many years, and just a few years ago it was bought by John D'Amber, who owns the Easton Market. He owns it now, but it's unoccupied this time. Next on the right is a house owned by Helen Honeysack. She and Mike, her husband, who was recently deceased, just had lived there for many years. And Helen and her son Michael still live in there. When I was a kid, that was the Charlie Wilbur place. Charles and Mary Wilbur lived there for some years. And they were a well-known family in town. And quite active in the Quaker Church and those type of things. And after their demise, Mike and Helen bought that place. And that road was once part of the main road from Bemis to Gallica. It was eliminated that hill from there up in 1932 or 33 when they built the first state road through here. The last building on the right, before you have to turn around and come back, it's the old Easton Schoolhouse, which was built replacing the one that was closer to the road to the north end of Northeastern. I can remember when that was done. That was the new building was built at the same time they built the road in 1932 or 33. And that place was converted into a residence by Roger and Shirley Defoe many years ago, and since been sold. Now a school teacher in Greenwich, whose name I can't remember now, lives in there. And in their yard, you have to turn around and come back. It's a dead end thing now. And the only house on the other, on the right hand or east side of the road was, when I was a kid, that was John Coochie residence. John was a man that, there was a small acreage there, but he had worked on farms around here all his life, and that was his retirement home, more or less. And he raised some vegetables and had a cow or two in the barn on the other side of the road. And when that was, when they died, it was sold to the Ingram family. And part of the Ingram family still uses it as a summer place, vacation place. That's back to about 40 on Church Lane. And I think we'll next go to Burton Road, north on 40 from Northeastern, and by the Briggs Farm, the Burton Road turns east, first of all. The first place past the Briggs Farm would be the barns on the Ferry place. Then you'd, the house on the other side of the road. Go from there quite a ways, and there's a newer house built some 15 years old by George Briggs. He's the son of the Frank and Emma Briggs that owned the place on Route 40. Their youngest son, I believe. And from there on, you go over to the junction of the Eastern Station Road, and the road turns from there north. It's to continue on from there. First place on the right is the Liddell Farm. It's Liddell, and was a person I remember being there, and his son Herb still, and his grandson still run that place. It's a combination dairy and sheep farm. And next place on the right would be the house built by one of the Marshlands, Lewis Marshland's sons. That's a newer house, just built a few years ago. Next on the right would be the what I knew was in the old days is the Mealy place. That was been unoccupied for many years until Lewis Marshland bought it some years ago and converted the house and fixed it up and converted it into two or three apartments there. There's also, I think, a barn standing there on that premises. Then you come to the corner where the Birch Hollow Road turns right, and the place right on that, along that road is the, I knew it was as the McHugh place. And it's lived there by the McHughes, and then for some time by one of the McHugh's daughters, and she was married to a man named Ryan, and she lived there for many years, and after he died, and now been bought by the Holmquist family that live there now. The house, at least they use, and I don't know about the land. Then you go on from there, farther north again, and the next place you encounter in the Walter Burdick residence in the old days. And so that now consists of, there's a house like that. The first thing that comes to, you know, there's another house first. Then you were, that's built by, was built by one of Court Thomas's daughters. And that was once part of the Walter Burdick farm. And Walter Burdick was the father-in-law of Court Thomas. Court Thomas and his wife lived there for several years, and then the place was sold to the Leather Stocking Arms, which is a big place, but takes in what was originally five or six farms, I believe, and they converted the barn into a living quarters for Court Thomas, and he lived there in that barn quarters until he died. And the old farmhouse is next on the right. It also belongs to Leather Stocking Farm. I don't know if it's occupied now or not. Then you go on along the road a little bit, and there's a fairly new house there built by a teacher and contractor. His name I forget now. Then you go on north toward the junction of the County Road 74, the railroad that road. And there's the barn to the Winter Burdick farm there. And that is the last.